Welcome to Sweet Kicks with Bricks, the show which helps you decide if a game is worth spending your hard-earned money on or a try before you buy. Now here's your host, Barry Ricks.
Hey guys, welcome to Sweet Kicks with Bricks. I am your host, Barry Ricks, and today's Kickstarter highlight is Subterra. And I have one of the masterminds behind the game. I have Peter with me today. How's it going, Peter?
Yeah, good, thanks. Pretty exciting day.
Yeah, well, and Peter's all the way over in London, is that correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Awesome. Well, thanks for, it's like the future over there, because it's like 6 p.m. over there. And so is the future looking bright, I should say?
As bleak and as full of terrors as the game, I think.
Oh, there you go. Awesome. Well, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit more about yourself and about the company you work for?
Sure. So, this is a bit of a weird story, really. But it was 2 years ago, back in 2015, me and university friends were basically trying to avoid at all costs trying to do any revision for our finals. And we spent loads of time at the only board game cafe that was existed at the time in Oxford, where we were at uni. Spent tons of time there, decided that we wanted to make our own tabletop game. And my friend was a chemist, so we came up with this like chemistry tiling game, put it on Kickstarter kind of speculatively, and then it did really well. We got about 18 grand, so
awesome.
In US dollars, it was like 20, at the time about $20,000-$25,000, which is really cool. Then it kind of snowballed from there, really. I was working part-time for a year after we graduated, and designed Statecraft, which is our second game. And that did horribly on the first time. And then we relaunched it a few months later and did fantastically. You got about £40,000 on that one.
It's funny how that works sometimes. The first time it's just like, yeah, but then you tweak it a little bit, maybe show the campaign a different way. And people are like, oh, okay, I'll get behind that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was one of those things where I think we went to like the UK Games Expo, which is like the biggest show in the UK. I think it's like the fourth biggest in the world now or something silly. It was like 20,000 people last year. We went there with like a small stand. We had a few banners, some t-shirts. We like a couple of demo copies of the game, and because so many people saw it and like, yeah, this is pretty cool. Like, we got a load more backers, loads of people who were kind of excited about the project. We did really well, which is great. We got to do all sorts of expansions and extra promos and cool finishes on the boxes and all sorts of cool stuff, which is really good. I haven't even said what the company's called yet, which is kind of so what happens when you get to the end of the day. So we're Inside the Box Board Games. We're based in London now. So we moved up August last year. We're working on Subterra, which is our newest one, live on Kickstarter right now. And we've got all sorts of crazy stuff coming up in the next couple of years, which is going to be super exciting, hopefully.
Yeah, no, that is super exciting. And well, and Subterra, as we're talking today, I mean, you guys still have 31 days left to go on the campaign.
Yeah.
And you guys have pretty much 2,000 backers, and you're way past your initial funding. So congratulations.
Yeah. Thanks. I mean, I'm just looking at the dashboard right now, and we've got 612% funded, which is mad.
And that's exciting. I mean, it's got to feel really good when you put something out there and people are just like, I'm all over this. And then you're like, okay, we're doing something right.
Yeah, exactly. It's really, really nice. Like, I mean, it's one of those things particularly, you put like 6 months work into something like this, just getting the campaign ready, going to conventions, getting all the artwork sorted, doing all the final tweaks. It's like, you don't really know how well it's going to do. And, it might have been a complete flop.
Right.
We're proud of what we made, but we never really know if it's going to appeal to other people. Just the people we've met and have said they liked it. It's an amazing feeling to see this many people being like, yeah, this is cool.
That's awesome. Well, let's talk a little bit about the game. What is Subterra and what can people expect from it?
So the strapline is, kind of survival horror board game. For people who play these games, imagine Betrayal at House on the Hill, Pandemic, roll them together, and then if you've ever seen the film The Descent, you just slap that all over the top. So basically, it's a full co-op survival horror game where you take the role of a team of professional cavers who get stuck inside the lower chambers of this unexplored cave network and have to escape before their flashlights run out of battery and they're lost in the darkness forever. So it's just, essentially at its core, it's a tile laying game. So you start off on this tile in the center of the game, center of the boards. You can't really start off, you drop through the shaft in the rock. And then you have to progressively explore through a stack of randomized tiles to try and find the exit. So your only objective in the game is to try and get as many people out alive as possible, which sounds easy, but it's not.
it's a little bit harder when, kind of like in the video on your Kickstarter, like you can separate or you can stick together, but you know you cover more ground when you separate. But what if you are left behind when someone else finds the entrance? It's just like, well, you're tough luck for you, I guess.
Exactly. So the main sort of the two kind of things in the game which kind of stretch you towards splitting the party and then stretch you towards sticking together. You've got these hazards, which at the end of each game round, you reveal a card from the top of this hazard deck, which also acts as this kind of timer, which then reveals something like a flood, a cave-in, you know, some nasty things coming out of the darkness and chasing after you. All sorts of horrible things that will make it much more hard for you to survive, just getting out, never mind kind of getting out in time. And then the other thing is this kind of timer deck, in that not only is it dangerous to split off because no one is going to be able to come and get you, but you've got to do it fast, because once you get to the bottom of this deck, you're out of time. There's like some lights are flickering on your flashlights.
Right.
And every single turn, you've got a 50-50 chance of surviving. It's kind of like last-ditch attempt. You know, you're kind of running out of oxygen, you run out of light, you're scarred all over, and you basically got no hope of getting out.
It sounds super fun and exciting. Like, I love co-op games. I know my wife definitely loves co-op games, and, you know, we've delved into that. But we've never played, a horror survival co-op game. And so it just when we watched the video together, I just showed her the video. I'm like, hey, this is who I'm interviewing in a few minutes, and she's like, that is an awesome game. And I'm like, I know, right? It's
awesome.
Like, it's just super exciting to have that, you know, that extra element of the survival horror added to the co-op feel of things. So no, sure. It's really cool, and I mean, and the game, like the components and everything, look really cool, but that's just at the main level that people can buy it for, whether it's, you know, £22 or $27 US. And but, you know, you can step it up and get the actual like plastic figurines, correct?
Yeah, sure. So I mean, one of the things we tried to do with like the whole kind of pledge level structure and everything was kind of make it as accessible as possible for someone just to get the game, you know, just to kind of get it, experience it, play it with their friends. But if people want to, they can, you know, they can go the whole hog. They can get the whole experience. Like, we tried, you know, as much as possible to make it as much of a thematic game as possible. Try and really, like, you can't like really like jump scare people with a board game. but like, I mean, in the designer's diaries that Tim, the game designer, has done, he's talked a lot about kind of dread, about like making people dread what's to come. Like, what's the next card going to be in the deck? What's the next tile going to be? Is that horror going to catch up to me?
Right.
And have that sense of anxiety over what's going to happen next in the game. In the same way you get in Pandemic, where you really hope the epidemic card isn't next.
Exactly.
Like, you know, you're like, oh. And then when someone flips over the card, you get that, oh no, from around the table.
And then you're like, it's your fault, you drew the card.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, so we've got like the base game for like £22 or $27. And then we've got three modular expansions, which like each of which add a new character, a new game mode, some new tile types or card types, kind of give it a new kind of chunk to the gameplay. It's got three different ones of those. And then we've got a graphic novel and a development diary that goes into a collector's box with that.
I know. I thought that was really cool to, you know, just add more story and background to the game, so you can almost become more involved with your characters. Be like, well, I don't want this person to die because I like them.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, one of the things that Tim talked about in the diaries was how like this kind of phenomenon of like player projection, I think he called it, where like you want people to feel like invested in their character, like they feel like a sense of like empathy for their character, and like it's a really like good way of like, if you read about them or you see a film about them, or you know, we just tell you what their names are, you like suddenly feel like they're more human, even though it's just a little piece of wood on a
right.
You know, piece of cardboard. So next time you play the game, you think, that's not Green Meeple, that's Amira the leader. And this is her story, and I feel like a sense of empathy for her as a, like a human being. And it really like it makes people feel like really like horrible when they die in the game, and you just see their like faces drop as they realize they're getting left behind, and then afterwards they realize it was like a really like immersive experience, which is really cool.
Definitely. So the game, I mean, itself, you can play 1 to 6 players, and you guys say it takes probably about 60 minutes to play. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's about right. I mean, the game's quite good in terms of scalability. So it works, you basically always have 4, 5, or 6 characters in the game. So for a solo game, you basically pick 4 characters.
Gotcha.
And play as if you're 4 separate people. Just kind of successively cycling through the characters. And it sounds a bit unusual, but I've done it myself about 90 times now. And it works really well. It becomes like a really interesting puzzle. So whereas in the multiplayer games, you tend to have the sort of pure co-op interaction, in a solo game, it becomes like a challenging puzzle, which is quite nice. But yeah, I mean, even when you're playing solo, it can take like 45 minutes to play with 4 characters. I think the longest it's ever taken is like 1.5 hours, with lots of chat and swigs of beer kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's a social game, so it's okay if it takes a little bit longer than it says.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it kind of hits that sort of hour kind of session sweet spot.
Yeah.
In being a sort of fairly, a kind of medium weight gateway game.
That's awesome.
Which is hopefully, you know, what we're aiming for. So
that's right. So, I mean, we know this game is going to be made. I mean, you guys are, like we said, you're like 600-something% funded, but you still have a month to go. I mean, you're ending on February 16th. And so the game's going to come. It's going to come to the, when do you hope to have the game to the backers, and do you guys plan on bringing it to retail?
Hopefully pretty soon. We've got a pretty zany plan that we've got behind the scenes. So the next big sort of milestone for us is the UK Games Expo, which is at the start of June. So it's actually not very far away in terms of kind of, you know, production schedules and stuff. We're talking about 5 months away.
Right.
But we've got our like files and everything ready for all the stuff we've already kind of made, ready for the printer right now. So all the extra bits and bobs of things we're like pretty much doing right now, like all the artists are just going crazy with the amount of work they're doing now, and the target's to get everything finished for the manufacturer on the last day of the campaign. So hopefully we should be fulfilling orders in June, so about 4 or 5 months ahead of schedule.
That's fantastic. That's a pretty quick turnaround there.
Yeah, I mean, we promised backers that we'll get it to them by November, which is still a pretty quick turnaround for a Kickstarter.
Oh, definitely.
But we're hoping, you know, we want to get it to the UK Games Expo. We want to do our retail launch decks. I mean, last year when we went for the first time as ITB, I was one of the judges at what they call the Wyvern's Lair, which is basically a kind of Dragon's Den Shark Tank type pitching event, where, you know, budding game designers come and pitch to a panel of judges from sort of cross section of the industry. So there was myself, another UK indie publisher, as Alex Yeager from Mayfair Games, another couple of sort of larger UK publishers, and then Christian Peterson from Fantasy Flight.
Definitely.
So it's kind of the whole spectrum of you know, big to small. And then Tim pitched his idea for Subterra at the event, and about 4 of us approached him after the event. To say that we're interested, and then he decided to sign with ITB, and kind of, you know, the rest of history, I suppose.
We
want to get to the UK Games Expo with this and be like, you know, this was born at the UK Games Expo. We want to kind of, you know, bring it back home, so to speak.
Definitely. So best case scenario, June. Worst case scenario, November, which was the original release date.
Yeah, exactly.
That's fantastic. I mean, like you said, either way, that's a really quick turnaround for a Kickstarter and a board game, especially with all the components of this board game, because you have several pieces involved. And so just to get it produced that quickly, that's a pretty awesome feat.
Yeah, I mean, we basically like kind of, I want to say, like prepared for it, so to speak. Like we never expected it to go this big.
Definitely.
But the more prepared we are, the better we go. You know?
You're always people always have stuff to prepare you for failures, but you didn't prepare me for the great success, like all the things that come with it, you know. The extra stress, the extra time I had to dedicate to doing things, it's a good type of stress, I guess.
Oh,
you
yeah,
say.
It's a good problem to have,
exactly, like. But you know, so it's just like, you know, just because, you know, you're successful doesn't mean you guys aren't, like, you know, running around with your, you know, chickens with your head cut off, so to speak.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So,
yeah,
no,
it's definitely a lot of going around.
Yeah, definitely. So it's exciting. I mean, the game's going to be made. The game looks fantastic. It's definitely something that, you know, my wife and I, we want to add to our collection. And I think everyone else should definitely take a look at it. So, Peter, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to come on the show today, tell the listeners a little bit more about Subterra, and yeah, so thank you. Congratulations on being successful, and good luck with the rest of the campaign. And I, like you said, you have a lot of things coming up in the, you know, the next year and two, so I'm excited to see what you have, and good luck with that as well.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
And thanks to Dan Patrice. He's Dan the Board Game Man. You can find him at thegeekallstars.com. He created our intro and outro, and we're grateful for that. And remember to back your projects wisely.
Thanks for listening to Sweet Kicks with Bricks. If you'd like to mail the show, send any questions, comments, or interview requests to sweetkickswithbricks@gmail.com. Sweet Kicks with Bricks is a Closet Geek Studios production. For more information on The Closet Geek, please head to closetgeek.net.